We had a wonderful time, like my wife said, just coming over here. And I pray that our presentation today may lead many of us to realize the importance of prayer. Now, if you have never heard prayer in the way that we're going to be presenting today, then it should have been done a long time ago. But if you have heard it, then this may be a renewal for you in saying, you know, we need to recommit our lives to prayer. Prayer is a component of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you all claim through your baptisms that you are followers of Jesus Christ, then prayer is the lifeblood of that follower of Jesus. Is that simple? It is said that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And so he's the mind of the church. He's the one that oversees the church. He's the one that has control over the body of Christ. We get to keep our own individuality. We get to make our own choices. We are free agents. We can make free choices. However, life has to go into the body of Christ. And the way that life goes into the body of Christ is by the Spirit of God. The Spirit quickens us, you see? And so if the Spirit quickens us, then there are some exercises that we need to go through. And it's for our own good, not so much for God, it is for us. And some of them are obviously acknowledging that we are in great need. And the next is that we need to spend time in the Word of God. And we need to spend time in prayer. And we need to spend time with one another, fellowship. These are basic components. And besides that, we need to then spread the word so that the body of Christ may then grow, so that others may come into the body of Christ. These are all part of the components of Christian discipleship. And prayer is one of the most vital ones, because prayer not only just makes us come alive, invites the presence of Jesus and the Spirit of God to indwell our bodies, but also it purifies us and it elevates us. We're going to see in the next a few moments, certain concepts of prayer that we need to review so that we can be on board on this in this regard. Notice the title there, Prayer, a Necessity, a Human Necessity and a Privilege. We'll talk about that. And the title is Between the Mountain and a Multitude. Between the Mountain and a Multitude. And we'll see the meaning of that in a moment. What can you see there? That's actually Cathedral of the Pines. That probably brings a little bit of tears to Pam's eyes, right? Because that's close to her home, our home in Massachusetts. But that's in New Hampshire. That's just about an hour from where we live. Sybil and Douglas Stone III founded the Cathedral of the Pines in 1949 as a memorial to those men and women, including their son Sandy, who had sacrificed their lives in World War II. I know that it was either World War II or World War I where 100,000 Newfoundlanders gave their lives for freedom. And it brought major economic impact on the island that we still feel today. Well, the Stones envisioned that the cathedral would be without walls, that would welcome people of every faith, and so that everybody would come in, regardless of what they believed in. And it was their hope that interfaith understanding would help bring world peace. And so the Cathedral of the Pines is just about an hour from Leominster, where we are, and it's in Ringe, Massachusetts. You have to go to Jaffrett, yeah. It's on top of a hill, and if you notice right behind, there is a beautiful mountain. I have actually flown over that mountain. Some friend of mine put me in a plane, and we went around that mountain. It's a gorgeous mountain. It takes about 2 hours to climb. 2 hours to climb. Well, when I was in my 20s, it took me about 2 hours to climb. Right? So it may take some of you a little longer. Mount Monadnock, it's perhaps one of the most climbed mountains in the world. And when you see this view, you just got to go right where the cross is and where the pulpit is and all that, to see that the background of it is not just a picture or some curtains, but it is actually God's creation. And right back there are the beautiful skies and the mountain. Today it is a memorial dedicated to the honor of Americans who served in our nation in search of peace. It is open as a spiritual place and also for cultural and environmental appreciation. If you ever are in the New Hampshire area or in Massachusetts, it doesn't take too long to get up to Cathedral of the Pines, and you would enjoy just sitting there, even if there's nothing happening, spending time with God. Our themes are mountains today. Why? Well, you see, God speaks to us, human beings, through various ways. Nature is one of them, and I love mountains. I love mountains. I love going up and down mountains. I did that for many years. I also like to canoe, and I like to spend time in nature. It is a good thing to do that. But nature is not the only way in which God reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us through Scripture, through this word. So now we have a little bit more intelligence rather than just graphics. You see, there are animals, there are mountains, everything. All of that tell about the glorious work of God's hands. But this, on the other hand, gets a little bit more intelligent in telling us that we have been saved by Jesus Christ, that the plan of salvation is for sure. And this is where we get the concepts that we're going to be studying today. But in addition to that, God reveals himself through Jesus Christ. So first he created nature, then he created human beings, and then it was necessary that Jesus would die on a cross, and so therefore he revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ. That's what Hebrews says, right? In these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. But when Jesus left, he left his Spirit, and it is the Spirit of God, my friends, that it is the Spirit of God that makes us to come close to the throne of God like never before. Because sin separated us from God. Jesus came to bridge that gap, and that's why Jesus is seen as that ladder. But the Spirit of God elevates us and brings us even closer. Notice that that Jesus said this, "It is to your advantage that I should leave." But the Comforter, the old King James says that, right? The new translations say the Helper. The Holy Spirit is a paraclete, and that means that he is a helper. He is a cheerleader. He is a person that says, come on, you can do this. It's an empowerer. It's not just somebody that feels sorry for you. It's somebody that says, yes, I can do everything and anything through Christ that empowers me, that strengthens me. You see? So the Spirit of God is active here. And Jesus, if he would be present here, he would be localized in one place on earth physically. But because he has ascended to heaven, his Spirit is now able to descend over the world. And he can be present in the quietness of your home, in the privacy of your home. Obviously, Satan has found ways in which he can be there as well. Right? Even though he can't be everywhere, he has found his angels and his emissaries everywhere through media, through the radio, through television, and even through devices like this here that we're using for our worship service. That's the counterfeit. But the real thing is the fact that the Spirit is in your home, in your closet, and you can meet with him every day, every hour. So, but we need to understand that we have a great need. We actually have a great need, and that is to constantly be connected to God. If we're not connected to God, we drop. If we're not connected to God, we begin to deteriorate spiritually. We need to meditate on his works, his mercies, his blessings, his word. And if that is not happening, in the privacy of our homes and in our lives, in the daily affairs of our lives, then it fails to happen here. And the reason why we can be quite critical sometimes of worship services, because it's not happening at home. Interaction with God is important because it fuels spiritual life, and we need to pour out our hearts to Him. We have to do that. We need to share our cares with Him. God is waiting for you to do that. That's our human need. Now, when we approach God, we must approach Him as a friend. You ever gone to a friend that you trust and you just pour out your heart to that friend? And when you do that, you feel much better. Well, today we even have people that we can trust that are professionals, that are sworn to privacy. And I've gone to professional counsels when I was in my early 30s. It's good to talk to someone, but it is much better also to speak to God. So I would recommend that you spend time with friends, spend time with people you trust. And if you need professional help, do that. But above all of that, we can't do without communication with God as a friend. If you think that you can, take a few steps back, because it cannot be. It cannot be. We will see more. Because the idea of spending time with God is that God gently begins to indwell your body. Have you ever heard of demon possession? God wants to possess you. Because if He's not there, then you're not with Him. God wants to indwell you. He wants to be in your body, because your bodies, we at Seventh-day Adventists, sometimes we emphasize that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, so therefore I don't eat pork. Good. Well, what good is a clean temple if it's empty? It must be indwelled. It must be inhabited. By whom? By no one else but the Spirit of Christ. That's the whole point of discipleship. So that when Christ indwells you, then your attitude, your character begins to be more like Him and like Him and like Him. So if you haven't experienced growth, could it be that we have become spiritual dwarfs? That we began in the Spirit, like Galatians chapter 3, Paul says. But then who bewitched you that you need to stop thinking that you don't need prayer? That you don't need the indwelling Spirit of God? You need a place where all our burdens need to go. And that is our Lord. And we must believe that He hears us. And we must develop a habit of prayer and prayer life. So the next few minutes, we're going to be discussing about these things. There's a necessity of prayer. Jesus identified with our own weaknesses. Let's look at Mark 1:35. Let's look at Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. He's preaching in Galilee, and he says, "Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." There he prayed. Do you know why Jesus prayed? I mean, think about it. Jesus didn't need to be baptized because He had no sin. Yet He was baptized. He set an example for us. Jesus didn't need prayer. He was God. But we forget that Jesus was not just God, but He was a God-man. That He was man, and so therefore He can identify with our struggles as human beings. The temptations and everything else, the weaknesses that we have, He had them too. And He had no advantage over you and I, even though He was God. No advantage whatsoever. How did Jesus overcome? The word is prayer. Communion with God. That's how Jesus overcomes. That's how Jesus grew spiritually. The Bible says that he grew in favor with God, prayer and study of the Word of God and worship and sharing. I'm about my Father's business. Are you about your Father's business? You see, prayer is the key to enliven all these duties of the Christian life, not just for us to grow, but also to help others grow as well. That is the responsibility of every single one of us. Let's go to Matthew 14:23. Just in case, maybe that was just one incident. Matthew 14:23. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go to him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself, verse 23, to pray. Now came evening. He was alone there. Jesus was praying. He went up to a mountain and he went to pray. He needed private time. What makes you think that you don't need private time with God? Oh, but Pastor, I pray to God, right? Didn't we just pray? We had several prayers. I pray before a meal. Oh, I pray before reading the Bible. We're talking about a life of prayer, not moments of prayer, not incidents of prayer, not formal prayer. We'll see more about that. Jesus spent time in prayer. Remember the time? Let's see if, let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Hello. All night in prayer to God. This is a life of prayer. Now, I didn't say go to work and then spend the rest of the night praying. But what we're saying is that there are times when we need so much prayer, we don't even know it. Jesus felt so much need of prayer that he had to spend the entire night praying. Remember the time when Jesus was in the house, Peter, and they brought somebody from up on the roof, and it was in Peter's mother-in-law's house. It was evening. He was still healing people late at night. It was so late. Jesus went to sleep very late at night, very tired. And before the sun came out, Jesus went away to pray. Jesus went away to pray. Hebrews 4:15 says that he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Do you know why? Because he didn't just have formal prayers. He had a life of prayer, which is different. Which is different. Remember, just before, and we'll actually talk about that in a moment, but prayer is a necessity. Prayer is a necessity because human nature is physically, intellectually, and spiritually weak, depraved, and morally bankrupt. That's the nature in which we live. That's the body in which we live. And if we are going to be like Jesus, then we must be hungering for the indwelling of his Spirit, just like you hunger for food. And the question is, how many of us do that? It is a privilege because in spite of our sinful depravity, our Creator and Redeemer invites us to find comfort and joy in communion with him. He doesn't have to accept us in his presence, but because of Jesus, we have the privilege to go boldly before the throne of God. Now, if we can go boldly before the throne of God because of Jesus, how come? I mean, really, sometimes when we see some big personality, if you see the Prime Minister of Canada, ooh, yeah, let's take a nice picture. Are we going after idols? We should have that and a greater desire to have not just a picture moment with God, but a lifetime with him. That's what we have been called to. And if we wonder why our mission and our efforts and our homes may not experience certain blessings, the question is, have you asked? Because God is willing to give it to you. Have you asked? It is a privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. The center of the universe is open for us. God yearns to give you. Our Heavenly Father is willing to hear our prayers that are humble and sincere. Our heart, God's heart of infinite love yearns to give us more than we can ask for. Yet there are some among us that make light of such the privilege of prayer. Subject to temptation as we are, there is reluctance in our part to make our wants known to God. And we pray so little, as a result, we have such little faith. Angels regard communion with God their highest joy. And we sang, holy, holy, holy. That's exactly what the angels are doing. Yet we who live in the midst of sin are satisfied to walk without light of His Spirit and the companionship of His presence. What a wonder it is that we pray so little, and perhaps we see little results, even as a church. Prayer, my friends, is the key to unlock heaven's storehouse. Without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and of deviating from the right path. That's just a fact. Because if God is not indwelling you, then you're not being guided by the Spirit of God. The darkness, it is said, of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. That's not my quote. The darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. Our neglect to make use of the privilege of the divine appointment of prayer leads to a gradual shift in our minds. We begin to think more like the world and less like Jesus. Our emphasis is placed on the cares of this world rather than the soon return of our Lord and hastening His coming through our own personal work in reaching out to people. The adversary seeks to divert our attention from the mercy seat of God that we may focus on our own strength to face life challenges, and our faith and power to resist temptation decreases. Prayer unlocks the boundless resources of omnipotence. It is there. You don't have to be a friend of Donald Trump or the most rich man in the world or woman. Or here in Canada, you have boundless riches available to you through Christ, His Spirit, when you engage in prayer. So let's look at some of the conditions for God to answer prayer. How does God answer prayer? Does God answer all prayers? You think that God answers all prayers? Yes, of course God answers all prayers. Question is, does He answer exactly as you ask? Why is that? We'll see that in a moment. Let's go to Isaiah 44, verse 3. Because the first condition for God to answer prayer is that we must feel our need of help from Him. Let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 44, verse 3. I will pour water on him who thirsts, and floods on the dry ground. That's what God wants to do. Do you thirst for the presence of God? Do you thirst for the presence of God? What did Jesus tell the Samaritan woman? Give me some water. He goes, well, you're a Jew, you're asking me. He says, yeah, but I have water that if you drink, you'll never be thirsty again. Do you thirst for that water? Do you thirst for that water? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who long after God, may be sure that they will be filled. How do we know that? Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. He's writing the scriptures. We've read these passages before. I will pour out water upon him who is thirsty and floods under the dry ground. The heart must be open to the influence of the Spirit, my friends, to God's blessings. Otherwise, we won't be able to receive those blessings. They need to be open. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Romans 8:26, it says, "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Do you see why God cannot answer prayers exactly as we ask them? Because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to ask for. But when God answers your prayer, he will answer what is best for you. That doesn't deter you from telling him what you want and what you need. It should drive you and motivate you to learn to pray like Jesus. Our great need in itself is an argument and pleads most eloquently on our behalf, it is said. Ask and it shall be given you. You see, many times we believe that this text is only just for selfish reasons. Oh, just ask. But if you look at it, where it appears also in John, it says, "If you believe in me," Jesus says, John 14, "then you would be doing the things that I have been doing, and greater things you will do. Therefore, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you." It's within the context of us being in harmony with the mission of Jesus, of sharing the gospel. So no wonder sometimes, "Oh, I just want it for myself, God. I really don't want it for anybody else." Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not him also freely give us all things?" If he gave his son, what you are asking him is nothing. Now, I don't go out from here saying the pastor says, "Not yet, now you can ask God for a Lamborghini." Okay? But what we're saying is that God wants your humble and sincere prayers, and all your burdens, you can place them on Jesus, and whatever you need for your life, as you serve him, God will supply that for you. And if God gives you more, God bless you. Use his blessings to give even more. Number two. The first one is we must feel our need of help from him. The second one is the prayer of the repentant soul is always accepted. If you live in open sin, you can forget it. But if you're willing to surrender your life and give up your sins, then God will answer. God will answer. Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." That's what David said. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." If God is to hear our prayers, we must be honest and willing to forsake any known sins. He's not saying any sins that you may not be aware of. Sometimes we're not aware that we're actually living in sin. And so, but when God brings that to light, we must immediately forsake them if we want God to continue to bless us and to hear and answer our prayers. Iniquity, this is Matthew Henry in his commentary, he wrote, "Iniquity regarded in the heart will certainly spoil the comfort and success of prayer, for the sacrifice of the wicked is the abomination of the Lord. Those that continue in love and league with sin have no interest either in the promise or in the mediator, and therefore cannot expect to speed in prayer." Steps of Christ. "When all wrongs are righted, we may believe that God will answer our petitions, and our own merit will never commend us to the favor of God. It is the worthiness of Jesus that will save us, his blood that will cleanse us. Yet we have a work to do with conditions of acceptance. We must forsake our known sins." Is that clear? Very clear, isn't it? Okay, so number three is sincere prayer must be accompanied by genuine faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you just approach God any old way, shalom, you know, hey God, you know, just, I wonder if you can just kind of help me with this. No. You need to demonstrate faith, the kind of faith that Abraham demonstrated in giving his son up for sacrifice. That's bleeding faith. That's sacrificial faith. What are you willing to let go of that the Lord may bless you? Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. If done in faith, we are to believe that our prayers are answered not according to our will, but the will of God. The will of God. God answers prayers that would result in blessings to us and for our highest good. And if a prayer is delayed, we are to have faith that God will answer in time. Don't take counsel with your doubts and fears and try to solve problems yourself. Have faith. Before we have faith, perplexities will only increase and deepen. But if we come to God feeling helpless and dependent as we really are, and in humble, trusting faith make known our wants to him whose knowledge is infinite, who sees everything in creation, and who governs everything by his will and word, he can and will attend to our cry and will let light shine into our hearts. Let's speed this up. The fourth condition, pray with the spirit of love and forgiveness. Pray with the spirit of love and forgiveness. Matthew 6:12 says, forgive our debtors as we also have forgiven our debtors. Notice that it didn't say that we are forgiven because we forgive. It's a big difference. We are forgiven as we forgive. As long as we indulge in unforgiving spirit, our prayers will go unanswered. If there's a spirit of disunity, if there's a spirit of contempt, if there's a spirit of disunity, and if you have not forgiven, those prayers will not be heard. If we expect our own prayers to be heard, we must forgive others in the same manner and to the same extent as we hope to be forgiven, my friends. Fifth one. You want your prayers to be heard? Repeat. 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 Come back again to the same mountain. Come back again to your closet. Same prayer. Same plead. You pray. You pray. And you may spend a lifetime praying the same thing. I know I have. I want this flaw in my character gone, Lord. And I keep praying. And I keep praying, same prayer, and the Lord answers in time. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Faithful means not formal prayers, but that you are consistently praying. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Oh man, now I know God is not answering my prayers. I just told him about 20 years ago, but I haven't gone back to tell him again. No, it isn't that God forgets. Maybe you really didn't want it. How much do you want it? Just like the God of like the heart of God yearns for you, you must yearn for your God. Unceasing prayer is the unbroken union of the soul with God so that life from God flows into our life, and from our life, purity and holiness flow back to God. It's a cycle. There is necessity for diligence in prayer, and nothing should hinder that, my friends. We must make every effort to keep open the communication between Jesus and your soul, my soul. We must seek every opportunity to go where prayer is needed. We must make prayer. Persevere in prayer. Okay, so now how do we make prayer a daily habit? All right? First one, my friends, is family worship. When I first started dating my wife, Pam, she was a Lutheran Christian, so she already had a relationship with Jesus Christ. She was a lovely Christian, and I was just attracted to her personality that was very welcoming. But at the same time, I knew that the Lord had called me to pastoral ministry in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it isn't that she wasn't a Christian. It's just that there was a little bit of unyokedness there because she was a Lutheran Christian and I was a Seventh-day Adventist. My friends, coming together for studying the Bible as a group, as a family unit, is important. As important as Christians coming together to study the Word of God honestly. And perhaps the greatest demise of any Christian congregation is the fact that those who attend worship services may have forgotten the necessity of prayer and to have family worship. Morning prayer, evening prayer. That's how I grew up. That's how I am third generation Seventh-day Adventists. Interestingly enough, as I looked at the statistics in Canada, about 15% of people in Canada attend worship services. You may think, however, that perhaps Newfoundland is the most religious, quote-unquote, province in all of Canada. Because in Toronto, about 5% of people approximately attend worship services. Right? In other places of the world, like Finland, that is, everybody's Lutheran there, 2% attend worship services there. So I don't know exactly how many people attend here, but we know that our worship services they're empty pews. It is my conviction, because of the statistics. The statistics actually say that 15% attend. The church is not growing very fast. The Christian church is not growing very fast. In fact, I believe that the Adventist church is growing a little bit faster than the average Christians in Canada. But yet, that growth is not sufficient. You know why? Because Canadians are not reaching their children. That's a result of that. That was a report. Canadian Christians can't even get their children to give their lives to Christ. And I believe that when we abandon family worship, morning and evening worship, when we abandon interceding for our family members, my friends, we have nothing but brought us a curse. And we wonder why the wells are dry. If there is no family worship, no morning and evening worship, it is most likely that your public prayer is nothing more than a public show of piety. You may fool those around us here, but certainly not God. It was through family worship that my wife came to accept the Advent faith. I didn't do anything else. Do you want to study the Bible? She says, I love the Bible. Let's study it together. And I didn't say, well, now you are now ready for baptism. No. She just called me up one time and she dropped me a little hint. She says, you know what? If I go to work for one of the schools, the Adventist schools, it says, I have this in place, that in place, that in place, that in place. There's one thing that's just missing. And what is that, honey? I said. She says, I need to be a member in good standing in the Adventist church. And my eyes just started to cry. And in 2010, I went back to Massachusetts to be in the very waters where my wife was baptized. What a privilege. You want your husband to come to Christ? Make family worship a priority. You want your daughters, your children, your grandchildren to come to Christ? Make family worship a priority. You can't lose. You're only going to win. The presence of the angels in your home will make your home a place where people will turn their lives to Christ. Family worship. That's how you make it. How do you make it a habit? Private prayer. Because family worship is not enough. We need to move from our formal prayers to a prayer of private and agonizing prayer. To a life of private and agonizing prayer. In solitude, let the soul be laid open to the inspecting eye of God. Secret prayer is to be heard only by the prayer-hearing God. No curious ear is to receive the burden of such petitions. In secret prayer, the soul is free from surrounding influences, free from excitement, calmly yet fervently will it reach out after God. Sweet and aiding and abiding will be the influence, my friends. Satan cannot overcome him or her whose heart is stayed on God. Jesus was serious when he says, abide in me. And prayer is how we abide in him. Prayer and the study of scriptures. That's what changes us. We must also pray together. And I am just going to make one statement from Steps to Christ. Those who are really seeking for communion with God will be seen in the prayer meeting, faithful to do their duty and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they can gain. They will improve every opportunity of placing themselves where they can receive the rays of light from heaven. My friends, when we make light of Bible study, studying our Bibles on a daily basis through the quarterly, family worship, when we make light of the Sabbath school class where is poorly attended, notice that the Sabbath school class is the indicator of the spiritual situation of your church. When we say Bible study is not important, but to hear a man speak is more important, I think we have something twisted. Something is just not right in that priority. Every opportunity of placing ourselves to improve who we are and to help others improve in their characters and to be like Jesus needs to be taken. I'll move on. Prayer must be a daily habit because we need to pray everywhere and anywhere, my friends. There is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer a prayer petition to God. But there's nothing that can prevent us from lifting up our hearts in the spirit of earnest prayer, my friends. In the crowds, in the streets, in the business, anywhere, we can pray. In your closet, you can pray. Here's one statement. Although there may be tainted, corrupted atmosphere around us, we need not breathe its miasma, but may live in the pure air of heaven. Everywhere you go, there is sin. And the only thing that will sustain you and be connected to God wherever you go is to remain in prayer. And you can do that anywhere and everywhere. Now, there are a number of Psalms right there because one of the more practical things about prayer is to learn how to pray. Well, the Psalms will teach you how to pray. The Psalms will teach you how to pray. I don't have much time to share some of this, but I will share this with you. I have a Bible. Another Bible in one room where I actually go every morning before my wife even gets up. That's where I pray, and I pray the Psalms every morning, and I spend time with God there before anything even begins. And one day I was impressed to send a prayer to a friend of mine that had sent certain information to me that actually was quite disturbing, and I wanted to help. And so I wrote this prayer. Dear friend, I am thinking of you, hoping that you would allow the Spirit, the Lord, to be your shepherd, so you shall not be in want. As his sheep, he desires that you lie down in green pastures. He longs to lead you beside still waters. He wants to restore your soul, and it is his will to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though at this point in your life you seem to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for the good shepherd is with you. His rod of mercy and his staff of compassion he uses to bring comfort to you. The Lord has a table prepared so that you may enter his presence even while the enemy of God and his evil angels may surround you. He is ready to anoint your head with the oil of his Holy Spirit, for he knows that your cup is running over and you are spiritually, physically, and emotionally drained. You may rest assured that God's goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, even though you may lose property, friends, family, and even your life on this earth. You will soon dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your friend forever, Victor. You can send a prayer to a friend. You can take that prayer and make it yours. It is me, Lord. Put the first pronoun in there. It teaches you how to pray. Teaches you how to pray. The next one, prayer transforms the mind. We've said quite a bit about this. Prayer helps to give us help us to align our thoughts with Jesus. It gives us a fuller comprehension of the value of eternal realities. The beauty of his holiness will become real to us, and we'll realize, oh, this sinful person, we need prayer. God does not mean that any of us should be like hermits and monks and retire from the world in order to devote ourselves to just prayer. But we need to be involved. The life must be like Christ's life between the mountain and the multitude, my friends. Between the mountain and the multitude. There are many of us who just spend so much time reading the Word of God and studying, and so many of us that just spend so much time in prayer, but we do nothing for the Lord. And all we do is just show up on Saturday morning so that we can, you know, do what we need to do. But during the week, are we hungering for souls? Are we hungering for people? He who does nothing but pray will soon cease to pray, or his prayers will become a formal routine, my friends. This actually is a presentation that it takes several hours to do. We're trying to go as fast as we can here. Praise is the next element, my friends. So if the next thing is that we need to be involved in God's mission, the next thing is that many times we don't even praise God. Our prayers don't even begin with a praise for who he is. Again, go to the Psalms and you'll find examples. God, you are the creator. You are the end from the beginning. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Holy, 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 O Lord. Many times we just come to him and says, Lord, please help me. But particularly in the church, in the worship services, we must praise our Lord. And we must begin our prayers with praise. Oh, we must praise God for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 107, 08. Prayer, my friends, is a necessity. Prayer, my friends, it's a privilege. There are conditions for prayers to be answered. You must repent. You must have a longing for him. You have a sincere prayer. It needs to be accompanied by faith. You need to pray with the spirit of forgiveness. You need to persevere in prayer. Prayer must be a habit of daily life. We should have family worship. We should have private prayer. We should pray together. We should pray everywhere and anywhere. We should pray the Psalms. And prayer also transforms the mind, my friends. It transforms the mind. Finally, prayer drives every single one of us to the cross. We must gather about the cross. Christ and him crucified should be the theme of contemplation, of conversation, and our most joyful emotion. We should keep our thoughts, every blessing we receive from God, and when we realize his great love, we should be willing to trust everything to the hand that was nailed to the cross for us. Can't you see the great need that we faulty human beings have for prayer? The soul may ascend nearer heaven on the wings of praise. God is worshiped with song and music in the courts above. And as we express our gratitude, we are approximating to the worship of the heavenly host. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Psalms 50:23. Let us with reverent joy come before our Creator with thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Isaiah 51:3. Luke 22, 41 and 42 and 40 through 44. And it was drawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, our Jesus prayed. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly than his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground, my friends. That's how Jesus prayed. He was not just saying words, but he was emotionally and spiritually involved in prayer. John 12, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice from heaven came and saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Where is your mountain? Where is your mountain? You know, in South Korea, during the 1800s, there was a lot of opposition to Christians out there. A lot of opposition from Buddhists and Confucianists and from Shintoists, from the invading forces of Japan. And so many Koreans resisted because they wanted to have freedom of worship. And many were executed. In desperation, you know what these Christians did? Since they could not practice their faith openly, they ascended to nearby mountains during the early hours before dawn to fast as they interceded before God in their country. At sundown, they would again ascend these mountains again to continue their ardent prayers. It is said, as I took this information from Wikipedia, anyone who had been to South Korea and had witnessed the Korean Christians pray in their unique way knows that they tend to wail as if they are storming heaven intensely with their petitions. And so it was that when the early South Koreans ascended the mountains to pray for their country, it was said that anyone who passes by these mountains would hear the agonizing cries of the people as if the mountains themselves were weeping for Korea. From then on, prayer and fasting have been a hallmark of the strong South Korean church. Do people hear groaning from this establishment? Does Babe Roberts hear Adventists groaning and faithfully without ceasing in prayer that they may know that they're talking and communing with their God? In your home, do they know that there's a light radiating on your home because you pray? And that they may see angels surrounding your home because you have family worship? That during the week, people may see this church lit up from electric light, but also from the presence of God? That there's a prayer meeting? That early in the morning, when we come to our Bible study on Sabbath morning, that it is filled because it is the most important place where anybody can be on Sabbath morning, but to spend time with the Word of God. I pray that the Lord will inspire every single one of you to make prayer a priority in your life. And I can guarantee you that when you make prayer a priority in your life, you will be led to more and more of the Word of God. And every opportunity you will have will be nothing more but to spend with Jesus so that you can then give Jesus to others. If you want to see this place revived, pray. If you want to see your family saved, pray. If you want to see Babe Roberts saved, pray. Anything. What are your burdens? What are you going through right now? What's going through in your marriage? What have you lost? What members of our family have already passed on? Pray for strength, for guidance and direction. May the Lord bless every single one of you. God bless you all.